everybody. Welcome back to another great edition of Talking Ticks. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zellinger. LSU was off this week. That was probably a good thing, too. It was still an exciting week in college football. Lots of good games out there. We'll go over that. But yeah, man, I'm kind of glad the Tigers didn't play because who knows what would have happened. It was ripe for upsets. But we'll go get into all that. Then we'll look forward to next week when we do play again, when Ole Miss comes to town. So there's that. I don't know. We might talk about some NFL action as well. Lots of just craziness this week. But hope you guys are great. Had a good weekend. Looking forward to, you know, this next seven game stretch with just SEC with all of you guys and bringing it to our people.
Yeah, good to be with you, man. Talk about this is why we love that sport of college football, right? Like, what a crazy weekend. No one's safe on Saturday, and really fun to watch. And I think you're totally right, Scott. So glad LSU didn't play this weekend because this would have been the one where we would have lost to, like, you know, if we played, who knows,
Nichols.
Yeah, that would have been the one where we drop one to Nichols.
Right.
Yes. Hello, listeners. And like we said last week, most of the college football fan base wasn't predicting a super exciting weekend. Not a lot of vaunted matchups, but then the upsets came pouring in, capped off by Vanderbilt in the game of a lifetime for them. And then another crazy one with the Miami Hurricanes, which got another hurricane coming towards me in South Florida this week. Thankfully, it looks like I'll be dodging the worst of it, but the hits don't stop coming, but at least LSU will have a big one on their hands with Ole Miss coming to town, trying to get their first win in Baton Rouge since 2008. And we'll find out if the Tigers are up to the challenge. But I guess first we got to go over what happened this past week in CFB.
Yeah, I'd say probably the only team that did handle their business like they were supposed to is the team that we're going to be facing, Ole Miss. They seem to have no problem with South Carolina, although it seemed like they were kind of, I don't know, either just flat or on cruise control in the second half. I mean, they only put up a field goal. And I know, Dan, you said before the pod they had lost a couple guys. I think, yeah, like their main guy, Trey Harris, is a little dinged up. Who knows if he's going to play this weekend. But still, like everyone else was suspect, right? I think it started off Friday night. You had, unfortunately, UNLV, who is continuing on their undefeated season without the quarterback that was waiting to get paid. They lost in overtime, actually, to Syracuse, I think 44-41. And then, the hits just kept coming. It started after that. Like, for some reason, A&M looked really good Saturday. They creamed Missouri on their home turf, but still just was not expecting that. So all of a sudden A&M is like right behind us with one loss, and they, I don't know, may have a couple better wins than us, but still, like you said, after that, there is Alabama, Vanderbilt, which game of a life for them, literally, cause they had never beat a top ranked AP team before and Bama wasn't taking it too well, but yeah, it's just everywhere. Tennessee lost to Arkansas, got a question about that. Georgia is one of the only other teams that kind of handle business, but I mean, there are others. You mentioned Cal and Miami, but holy cow, it was just one of those weekends, right? It seems like ever since the BCS, there's one or two weekends that just completely throws wrenches in the system. This was
it. Yeah, I mean, Bama taking one to Vanderbilt, what, 2 weeks after Nick Saban goes on live TV and says that every game you play the SEC is tough except for Vanderbilt. Pretty hilarious.
Exactly.
Gosh, it's just a bad loss for them. You know, I don't even think you can really talk that one. I would say that's probably their worst loss since ULM and might be worse than ULM. I mean, you think about that was a defining loss for Alabama losing to ULM. I remember Saban was like, he didn't even know where that school was. In the press conference, I would say that this is probably worse than that. Just because of how much more talented that this Alabama team is compared to back then, what they were at. I mean, at that point, you know, in 2007, they were building the dynasty. In 2024, they are the dynasty, with the Heisman Trophy you know, contender pick, contender quarterback and everything.
Sure, but they're still like using that to justify, oh, so this is a good omen because of what you just said.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Sure, sure.
That's some good mental gymnastics there.
Yeah, the Bama game is crazy. The score, I mean, it was close at the end, 40-35, but really Vanderbilt was in control pretty much the whole game. I think they were up like 23-7 at one point, and then it was kind of just trading blows there towards the end. It was just so wild to, like, they would pan the camera around, and then they had the south end zone, which is still under construction during the game. Like, the guys got guys out there hammering rivets in, and then they're taking a pause on their lunch break to go watch the Commodores take it down. And you mentioned the atmosphere. There definitely was way more Bama fans there than Vanderbilt, but the minority Commodores definitely rubbed it in at the end and made the march down Broadway to the river with the goalposts. Those videos were pretty epic, and you got to hand it to them for their first victory over Alabama since 1984, which is crazy. It's been 40 years since they've beaten them. So a lot has changed, and I wouldn't say it necessarily wipes Bama out of the playoff race. They're still in the hunt for an SEC championship, but it is a tough blemish to come back from. And I mean, they played Georgia close. They almost got beaten in that one. And then they had a close game with South Florida earlier in the season. So everybody is vulnerable, and you just got to be on your game 24/7, especially in the SEC. Anything can happen.
I mean, this DeBoer Bama team is not, you know, there's chinks in the armor. I think something I was concerned about, we talked about it before, is like Saban retires. What does this mean for Alabama? Do they keep rolling on? Is it business as usual? Or does having the greatest coach of all time retire, you know, affect you the way you would think it should, which is when, you know, you're going to go down from there. I think it's safe to say after, you know, midway through the season, you could say, yes, they have gone down. Obviously they still have the talent that is, you know, some of the best in the country. They still have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They still have, you know, a great coaching staff and program and infrastructure and all that. But I think you could definitively say after losing to Vanderbilt that they've lost a step or two.
Yeah, Saban's probably saying, thank goodness that wasn't me, because it's not like they went out with a whimper in his last couple of years. They didn't win a championship in the last few, but he still had solid teams. But oh, yeah. if you've been the coach now and they lost to Vanderbilt, unfortunately, that's probably what he had been remembered for. It's like the downfall of Alabama, and he couldn't beat Vanderbilt, and then they wipe him out at the end of the season. So he's like, oh, I'm glad I'm not part of that mess.
True.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. In many ways, maybe this would have been a worse loss than ULM, but I don't know, maybe not. I'd still, it was on the road. It was like you said, Vandy was in control the whole time. And it's like, they've already had two losses. It wasn't like they were undefeated. And this was like, could Vandy, no, this wasn't even, no one foresaw this coming. I think there were what, 22 point underdogs, but still, this was the weekend. This was the weekend. There was also, Washington, beating Michigan, at home. Then you had Minnesota beating USC. So both of that just kind of, I don't know, maybe that's how somehow the Tigers, even though we didn't get subjected to this madness, people still jumped us, even though we didn't even lose or anything this weekend. But yeah, I guess somehow now Notre Dame's ahead. There's a lot of one less lost teams, but the Tigers didn't really do much better. I think they're hiring the coaches. I think they're 10 in the coaches, 13 in AP, but still, who else? There was, well, Florida State didn't pull it off. They're just circling the drain right now. And then I think that was it. I think that was all the upsets anyway. But
well, Tennessee. Man. Did we talk Tennessee, Arkansas?
Right. No.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah, it was close the whole time. But did you see the last play of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was dude thinking?
Yeah, Nico Iamaleava rolls out as the time runs off the clock, and he's like, he didn't even take a shot to the end zone. Maybe he lost track of time, but they had only a few seconds to do something. And I understand, like, everybody was blanket covered in the end zone, and there was a little bit of green grass in front of them, but you got to at least launch it down there and give receiver a chance.
Didn't he slide? Pretty sure he slid.
Yeah, he could have thrown the ball, just heaved it in the end zone, even if it was picked off. But, like, I think he just lost awareness. He forgot what, like you said, he forgot what
He thought he might have more seconds left than he could.
Or another down. I mean, he thought he was in overtime already.
Who knows? I don't know.
Anyway, but yeah, that would have been maddening. Like that's some like less my. That was not nothing personal, but that was like some Justin Jordan or something. You know, back in those days.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, we really just lost. I understand we were losing the whole game, but. It came down to this one play, and that was it. All right, that sums it up pretty much. But looking forward to next week, I don't know. Ole Miss took care of business against South Carolina. You know, I don't know. It's just transitive properties with college football and all that. You know, I laugh at the people that immediately put Alabama up to number one after, you know, Georgia almost came back and beat them. So got Ole Miss coming to town, and – I don't know. I'd say this bodes well. It's a night game, and they are favored, which I don't really care about. But we've had a week off to hopefully heal, right? I mean, we know Harold Perkins is gone. They've also had an extra week to game plan to replace this. What do you guys feel about our chances now after this weekend and, you know, kind of having a week off to regroup?
Man, I think that, I mean, first of all, I don't think we've said this game has been circled on our calendars since, you know, May, like since they were doing spring football. Like this has been, you know, the biggest game, I think, on our calendar. I think, like I said a couple weeks ago, like if the team that comes that we've seen play against, you know, South Carolina comes to play, maybe if first half South Carolina comes to play, we're going to get blown out. But if the team that, you know, finishes that game, then I think we've got a decent chance. I mean, it's like you said, it's at home. Interesting thing. I don't know if you saw this, but JV and Toviano is going to be moved to like that nickel position that right. Major Burns has been playing at.
Yep.
I think that could be a big difference maker. Not that Toviano is going to be his, you know,
the next Honey Badger.
Yeah, the next Honey Badger. But Major Burns has not been great at that position, and so getting him out and putting him, you know, in a putting him like away from the ball, and give him a little more time to because I think they're going to try and rotate him in at free safety. I think that could be good for our defense. We're going to need a lot. I mean. This Ole Miss team is probably the best Ole Miss team that they've ever had, maybe, or at least since the Ole Miss team that was, you know, number two or number one. And then I think they were number two with Chad Kelly and what was it? Treadwell. What was that guy's name?
Laquan
Treadwell. Yeah. Yeah. So gosh, I mean, I don't love our chances. I like our chances now better than I did, you know, 3 weeks ago, but still, I'm not sold on LSU winning.
Right. Well, it'll be a second half of the season defining game either way, considering this is the sixth game of the season, halfway point. And given that we have the one loss to USC in hand already, which is unfortunately looking a little worse every week, considering their loss to Minnesota, and there are two losses already. That's not exactly a quality win, as they say, on our record. So dropping a second one already to Ole Miss would pretty much squash our playoff hopes, I would think, considering the rest of the SEC slate that we have. But a win would definitely boost us into the top 10 solidly, and probably somewhere around like the 8-7 range, I would guess, depending on how the rest of the country shakes out this week. So a lot to play for sure. And I'm hoping that Tiger Stadium fills up at capacity, good environment, Saturday night in Death Valley that we all hope for. And there's been the reports that that's not been the case so far this year for various reasons, too hot, bad opponent, whatever. But Ole Miss, you got to be ready for. And they're a very dynamic team, especially on offense. They're star wide receiver Trey Harris, a transfer from Louisiana Tech, actually, who leads the nation in receiving yards. He got dinged up in the second half of the South Carolina game, and he's listed as questionable right now. Not sure whether he's going to go or not, and you don't really want to pin your hopes on injuries from the other side. But if he can't go for Ole Miss, then that definitely helps us out. Kind of on the flip side there, our starting cornerback, Zy Alexander, who we were probably going to match up against Harris in the cornerback one slot. He was out with a concussion in the last game, and hopefully he'll be good to go. I haven't really heard too much about that, but definitely we could use him. Even if Trey Harris can't play, we can put Alexander on Beanie Wells, their number two receiver, who's definitely talented as well. And then, yeah, their defense is a lot similar to ours. Kind of their strength is in the run game. They've got some kind of pretty fierce pass rushers and D linemen, Walter Nolan and J.J. Pegues, who's just a monster of a man, who they even give him rushing touchdowns sometimes too. So watch out for that. But it'll be a tough matchup, and they're going to try and strike our DBs with Jackson Dart's precision passing, followed up by Henry Parrish in the run game. So, all in all, definitely tough. And I'm kind of scared of a bit of a repeat of the Tennessee game from 2 years ago when they came in and just kind of mowed us down. We got knocked on our back foot and never really got back in the game after that. So as long as we can avoid the Brian Kelly like stunner first quarter that we've seen where we come out just absolutely flat, I think we have a good chance. But it's hard to give the Tigers the edge in this one so far, considering how Ole Miss has played, especially last week against South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know. We could also benefit from if we start out slow, but then also so do they. You know, Tigers, we can definitely muck up the game bad enough for both teams. We've seen that plenty of times. So, but no, I think they'll be right. I mean, having the week off helps South Carolina. I mean, Ole Miss had to go to South Carolina. I mean, they took care of business, but, you know, traveling. But we had a bye week. I think it'll give him time to work things out. I mean, South Carolina's going to have to work things out this week with their receiving core. I mean, they kind of had to in the second half, but we kind of saw what that did to them. So, yeah, if he's questionable or, you know, even if he goes, he may not be 100%. So that kind of favors us too. But, yeah, I'm interested to see if Toviano, he's better closer to the line, you know, if he can be making some plays out in space or get to the quarterback something, because – you know, Harold Perkins is gone. I'm kind of interested to see what this will look like. I mean, it looked fine the week before, but Tigers
if you want to be positive, you want to have the optimistic view. We played our most complete game against South Alabama, and that's
been improvement.
And I'm not saying that like, oh, you know, South Alabama's a great team, and we just absolutely eviscerated a great team. Like, no. Like there, but as far as like, I think grading LSU against themselves, like that seemed like the most complete and put together, you know, buttoned up game that we played throughout the entire season, regardless of who the competition was. So, I think that's a plus for us. I think having the bye week is a plus for us. We can go. We've had a whole week to prepare for them. They haven't. They had to prepare for South Carolina and then start to prepare for us. So it sets up well for us, even though we are, like you said, we are the dogs in this game. I mean, it's a 2.5-point spread right now that I've seen. So I'm not saying – so, I mean, it's close against a Ole Miss team that's really – I mean, it's been known to put up a ton of points. So I think that if we – I feel like it's going to be a boat race – Either we're going to get blown out or it's going to be, you know, whoever has the ball last can Nussmeier throw one up. Can Caden Durham like run one off, you know, something like that, where I don't think that this defense that we have is capable of shutting down Ole Miss and, you know, shutting down that defense. I mean, shutting down that offense, but can they make a few stops and give our offense a chance? I think I could see that. Maybe a like, turnover.
Yeah, like against that. South Carolina.
Yeah.
Right? We were down bad, had to come back.
I was gonna key on that in the turnover battle, which we've been doing well so far. Blake Baker's been trying to kind of make up for some of the technical deficiencies possibly in his defense with drawing up a lot of blitz packages and creating chaos, attacking the quarterback, forcing fumbles, forcing interceptions. And yeah, if we win the turnover battle, then we'll have a very good chance. Also, similarly to that, Ole Miss is, I think, ranked like almost dead last in the country in penalty yards. I'm seeing they're averaging 80 penalty yards per game so far this year. maybe that's a product of some of these SEC refs that are pretty tough, and LSU's similar the same way. We haven't been great in that regard, but if we can kind of keep the mistakes to a minimum, you want to beat Ole Miss and not beat yourself here. So just try and play a focused game, and we don't need any Will Campbell like drive killing false starts or too many pass interferences trying to bring down their star receivers. But yeah, we'll put up a good fight. If I had to give a score prediction, I think I've predicted against LSU before, and I think I'm going to have to go against them here in a close one, pretty much in line with what Vegas thinks. Something like 41-37 Ole Miss, so definitely a shootout, and it'll be exciting either way. But yeah, hoping the Tigers can pull it out and make a statement that we're a team that's for real and not just messing around this season.
Okay. I like where your head's at, Daniel, but you know what? I picked against LSU earlier this season. They proved me wrong. I think I might have to pick with them against the odds makers. I like the way it sets up. Maybe I'm drinking a little bit of the Kool-Aid, but I liked the performance that we saw last week. I like the bye. I think that Ole Miss is trending. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not. It's not like they lost to Vanderbilt or something, but they didn't go out and put up 70 points on South Carolina, a team that we beat. I think that we've got a decent chance. I think we win a close one, like we talked about. I'm going to say 45-42. LSU gets the win, and I think that we have a big turnover, like a big interception or a big fumble recovery, kind of seals is the play of the game. Looking at my man Ashton Stamps, maybe as the, nice. as the I'm really going out on a limb on this game. Like I'm even might picking well. MVP. I mean, yeah, at this well. Point, like who cares? It might be wrong, but if it's wrong, then like Daniel said earlier, the season's basically over if we lose this game too.
You would say that, but then if we did win out, I mean, I wouldn't give as much. I don't know, basis to have you even think that's possible, but all the Tigers would have to do is win out after that.
I mean, all you gotta do is win every single game.
Exactly. It's only one SEC loss at that point, but we expected two. We just didn't expect USC. So I don't know, the way this whole season's shaken out. I'm with you, Tommy, though. I gotta go with Tigers on this one. I'm thinking like 39-35. Maybe they go up quick on us, but we kind of come back. Yeah, our defense kind of comes in there. Some guys, like, we've been playing freshmen and been seeing, you know, okay, wow, we actually hit on this recruit. That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of which, I think Caden Durham is expected to practice this week. I expect to see great things out of him. I also, you know, Zy Alexander's practicing as well as CJ Daniels. So I think that, with the Tigers at home at night off of bye week, that's who I'm going with.
I mean, has Ole Miss faced, like, been in a hostile environment like this yet? No. The answer is no.
They lost at home, right? To Kentucky.
They lost at home. That's correct. And I mean, they have not been on the road against anybody their biggest road win is Wake Forest.
South Carolina, maybe. Right?
Yeah, I would say South Carolina, but it wasn't a night game. Right?
Yeah.
It was a day game.
But I guess South Carolina aside, which is a team we beat on the road, their biggest road win is Wake Forest. Man, I'm really talking myself into this. Like, I don't know. I kind of like it. Let's.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, Scott, you reminded me of this. This is why we love the sport, but like the trickle down effects of Bama losing to Vanderbilt. Are if we lose this game and then win out, our Bama win looks worse. It doesn't look as good because it's like, oh, well, that's the Bama team that lost to Vanderbilt. Whereas every other year you beat Bama, and like you instantly go up 10 spots in the poll.
Yeah. Well, we do host powerhouse Vanderbilt late in the season coming to Baton Rouge.
Oh, well, maybe that's true.
So as long as we beat them both.
What about when Vanderbilt becomes a quality win? What are we living in?
That's when you look at the schedule and you're like, this is literally an automatic win. And now I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah. They're like Missouri from a couple years ago, right? Right as Missouri got, you know, kind of interesting, kind of good, but it's crazy. And the guy that's coaching used to play there. I think that's another great part of it. I think it's even funnier that, yeah, they like, you could see him doing shots of this, like, wow, they don't even have a full stadium.
Yeah.
Like, this is, they're just piecing this together this season. Just had a hurricane come through this week. Not really in Nashville, but, you know, a lot of parts affected. Prayers out to them, by the way. I know we have some listeners in Appalachia. But I'd say with this, I think we know where we stand. Daniel is on the underside. Me and Tommy are looking on the above. I think you had him, what, 45, 42? I said 35, 39, 35. We'll see.
I mean, now something else to think about. I mean, this is an Ole Miss team that only put up 28 points against South Carolina. And like you said, Scott, in the second half, it was really on, you know, cruise control. Now, maybe that was by design. Maybe they just kind of were. But this is, I don't think that's how Lane operates, right? Like, Lane's not somebody who takes his foot off the gas just because it's like, we did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So are things not firing at all cylinders? Is there trouble in Oxford? We're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
Got some other good games too next week. Oregon versus Ohio State playing simultaneously at LSU, 7:30 Eastern kickoff. I guess it'll be 6:30 Central, but then they're at Oregon. So that's where College Game Day is going. So get your clickers ready to be swapping back and forth between those games. And then the Red River Rivalry, Texas, Oklahoma, first ever SEC edition, which is weird, going down in Dallas earlier in the day. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yep. Other ones to look out for, Tennessee, Florida could be, I mean, that's at Tennessee off a bad loss. Can Florida, you know, come in and
yeah,
take advantage of that? Georgia, maybe. Mississippi State's kind of a dumpster fire, but always want to check in on Georgia.
Right. I don't know. I'd say, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, Stanford and Notre Dame, that can always be interesting. That's what we need, is someone to knock off some of these other one loss team, so there's a little bit of separation. Somehow Penn State's undefeated. They're going out to USC. So
that could be that. I feel like that's an upset alert.
Possibly.
Like, check out. Don't be surprised if you see number 4 Penn State down big to USC in like the second quarter, in my opinion.
That could help both our resume and our poll slotting as well, if the Trojans can pull that upset off. And then you got Coach Prime in the late night kickoff, 9:15 Central, hosting ranked Kansas State at Colorado. So that could be a fun one after the LSU chaos wraps up, if you're a night owl there.
Right. I mean, if you're up, you're up. What's that?
Just to backtrack just a second on the Red River Shootout, do we think Oklahoma has any chance at giving Texas a game?
I mean, crazy stuff always happens in that game. You think of like Colt McCoy, five overtimes or whatever. That's not Colt McCoy. That was Sam Ellinger, the 5 overtime game. But yeah, weird stuff happens. I could see it, but I think Texas is, I mean, they're number 1. You can't say they're not a great team, but they're probably one of, if not the most complete team we've seen so far. So I feel like they just take care of business there.
Wait, is a quick question though. Is Ewers going to be back, or are we still putting this on Arch? That's what I hadn't seen that yet.
I think Ewers is supposed to play, but I don't really know, although Arch has looked good in relief. So I don't know if it's maybe more of a 1A, 1B in that situation.
Sure. Sure. I don't know.
Monitoring him, Sark's official statement today, we're monitoring him daily just to see how he continues to progress. I feel good about him going Saturday, but it remains to be seen. So
right.
I think that means he's going to play.
Yeah. I mean, they had the good game against Michigan, but other than that, they haven't really had any stiff competition, I would say. So, you know, like you said, it's a rivalry game. So we'll see. We'll see if the Sooners pack a punch or not. I mean, they're 4-1 themselves, but they just lost to this Tennessee team the week before. They just lost to Arkansas, but I don't know. I wasn't too surprised with the Arkansas. You know, they've been feisty this year.
Yeah. Pittman's coaches for his job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As is Hugh Freeze, as is
Billy Napier. Although Napier's job's pretty much already gone.
True, true. And now, you know, now that Carolina's lost two games, of course, now the fans are putting it on Beamer, when last time just one loss, it was the refs. Now that they've lost twice, oh God, I think it's Beamer, man. I'm like, this guy brought you pretty far, so just relax.
Yeah, I personally like Shane Beamer. I think he's a pretty good coach. So
yeah, I think he's good. He's salt of the earth people. I don't see why you would want to get rid of him. You're 3-2. Come on.
Yeah,
I don't know what their schedule's like, but still. But as it stands now, guys, believe it or not, but if you're looking at the SEC standings, we're one of only three that doesn't have an SEC loss yet, along with Texas and A&M. So we're sitting good as long as we win next week. Man, I mean, like I said, we got seven conference games in a row, I believe. But it's all we have to do. All we have to do is win them all. That's what I'm saying.
It's simple when you really think about it.
Yeah, it's math.
Score more points than your opponent and you win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, other than that, I don't know if you guys saw the, I don't know anything else to say before we move on. Sorry.
I think that's about it from my point, but, I mean, gosh, I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited for this Ole Miss game. And, I think the Tigers are going to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tune in 6:30 Central. If you're in the Baton Rouge area, be there, be loud. And, let's get this win in the Magnolia Bowl.
Amen. Plus, I mean, I'd say it can only help us in other aspects, right? Recruiting, exposure, just good vibes when the polls come, you know, because if you win good and look good, they just reward you, you know, even if you haven't necessarily earned it. But a couple things I wanted to touch on was, A, just speaking of recruiting, just how good a lot of the Tigers are looking in the NFL. I mean, poor Joey B., if he had a defense, man, I think he'd be at the top of his division, the AFC something.
Loss yesterday.
Yeah, but it's like that's not the only one, you know? So it's can't blame it on him. Can't blame it on Jamar Chase. Those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Then there's also, what was it, Brian Thomas.
He's been playing well.
Malik Nabers.
Nabers, exactly.
And Jay Daniels.
Jay Daniels.
Yeah, yeah, still been rolling.
Someone's got to be rookie of the year. I'd say there's probably one or two Tigers that'll be in the mix probably at the end of the season, which again bodes well for us.
And then I don't know if y'all saw yesterday in the Sunday night game, you had for the Steelers, Dante Jackson and Patrick Queen both playing for on that starting defense, which two LSU standouts. And then you pair them up with Minkah Fitzpatrick at free safety, and I mean that's a vaunted SEC defense right there.
Yep,
absolutely. The other thing I wanted to mention was I know Daniel probably saw it, was there was a player in the 2026 class that was a LSU target, Jakeem Stewart.
Yep,
reclassified to the 2025 class. Now I think that's great. I mean I know there's some other guys on their radar, but he's a Louisiana guy. Tell me we got the fences around him. But he switched schools, right? Like he was at one, then he moved to Edna Carr or vice versa.
Yeah. So I was going to bring this up if you didn't, but okay. Jakeem Stewart, who's a 6'6", 270 pound defensive end from St. Augustine High School in New Orleans, notable as being the alumni school of Leonard Fournette, running back at LSU, among others. And he just started his junior season, but he pretty promptly stopped playing and transferred to rival school across town in New Orleans, Edna Carr, who's also a football powerhouse in Louisiana. And he, due to the LHSAA, the Louisiana high school rules, he has to sit out the rest of this year, which would have been his junior year, but he transferred so that he is now eligible to be to go to college next year. I guess he's completed his whatever degree requirements, but St. Augustine, they had a school rule that did not allow that, that did not allow players to graduate early, which is why he left. There were some rumors that he was going to try and go to IMG High School in Florida, but that didn't end up happening. But I guess Edna Carr said, come on over, be with us, even though he's not, probably not going to play a single snap of football for them because next year he'll be in college and this year he's sitting out. But still, he's been so dominant at the high school level that he was already the number one player in the 2026 class, that he's still probably the number one overall player on the board for 2025 just because of how like raw and athletic he is. He had, like, I think 16 sacks and like 85 total tackles as a sophomore last year, which is in good competition in New Orleans. So hopefully LSU can keep him home. It's not a done deal or anything. He hasn't really indicated too much where he's looking to go to college, but he has taken an official visit to LSU, and most pundits are on LSU as kind of the team to beat there. So hopefully they can lock that in, and we'll know pretty soon because early signing day is coming up here in December in just 2 months. So he's got to make a decision fast, and hopefully we can get him. And that would be a real keystone for this next recruiting class, but definitely interesting, especially the reclassifying part, trying to get that NIL and college money as soon as possible. Quinn Ewers is the only one that really comes to mind who did this before. He reclassified and went to Ohio State early before transferring to Texas. But this could be an ongoing trend to watch as well in the recruiting ranks.
I feel like a lot of times it doesn't work out well for you, though. It didn't work out for Quinn Ewers. I mean, obviously we see him now, it's working out. But, I mean, remember, he reclassified, went to Ohio State, sat the bench, and then ended up transferring to the school that he would have gone to anyway.
Yeah.
The whole reason he transferred is because the state of Texas wouldn't allow him to do NIL as a high schooler. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do NIL as senior year of high school. So, I think it's, I'm a little bit skeptical just because I feel like this reminds me, like, this situation somewhat reminds me of Quincy Wiggins, who was a athletic freak DN who, you know, we thought, you know, LSU was going to pick up and was supposed to be a cornerstone of our recruiting class. And I mean, I don't know. He's not even with the team anymore. So I hope it works out. I hope he could. It's just like, I feel like that junior and senior year of football at the high school level are really important. And so if you kind of basically give up that junior year and then reclassify, so you don't get that senior year, he's going to go in as basically a sophomore, and like, as far as experience, he'll go in as a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that translates to the SEC.
Yeah, because you can definitely see a situation where, yeah, his true freshman year, he doesn't get necessarily the playing time that he thought he might because of the step up in physical talent around him, and his rawness is a developmental prospect, and then he gets frustrated, and maybe the NIL money wasn't as much as you want, and so you end up transferring. That's kind of the A&M story over the past few years and stuff like that. So definitely has a risk associated with the reward, and hopefully the positive play outweighs that possible downside.
Hopefully I will. And it sounds like he's got a good chance because, like you said, he's just been manhandling folks. Like they were interviewing one of his coaches, although in the article I read, it said his coach who represents him. And I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? Is his coach, like, are the coaches getting in on the NIL deal? Probably. But basically it's like, yeah, he's been playing up against these guys since ninth grade. A lot of them, some of them in the NFL now. And I imagine maybe they are, but just his size and just what he can do. I don't think he's going to be shy in the SEC at all. He'll probably stand, I don't know, maybe he's like a Clowney. LSU's had some good defensive men ends, but we've never had like a Jadeveon Clowney type guy where he just came in and dominated, right?
I mean, the closest ones you can think of, I mean, Mingo and Sam Montgomery were dominant.
They became that way. Yeah, I don't remember their freshman year if it was like, wow. But yeah, definitely.
I think Mingo's freshman year was pretty good just because, but that was a speed thing. That was, you know, in 2000, that would have been 2009 or 2010. You didn't have DNs that had that speed and range that he had. Of course, now that's basically the way the position is. But right. You know, Yeah, I think you're right, Scott. It seems like we haven't had a real dominant D end. Now D tackles we've had tons of over the years, but you're right.
Well, looking forward to progress with him. We'll see. But other than that, that's all I had as far as, again, just wanted to mention, man, the Tigers look good in the NFL. They're making it exciting. Like I said, unfortunately, Joe Burrow had a defense, man, I think the Bengals would have a lot more fans behind them just because, you know, Louisiana Nation, Tiger Nation, maybe even on some fragments, the SEC in general would probably root for him if, as opposed to the Chiefs, you know. Mm-hmm. Chiefs are getting to the point where it's like, oh God, someone please beat them.
I know. I saw a comment the other day. It's like, looking back on it, the Patriots dynasty wasn't so bad. Right. The Chiefs like tearing it up, and we all hated Brady and them while they were doing it. And now it's a different beast entirely.
Speaking of, maybe the Saints will have a chance tonight. I mean, it's in Kansas City, right? But maybe the Saints can play Giant Killer.
Maybe. I mean, if you get the Saints from the first 2 weeks of the season, I mean, there's probably a good chance now.
Yeah.
We haven't seen those in 2 weeks.
Nah. Nope. Oh, well.
Yep.
All right. So we've put it all out there. I think we've stood on our business, and we just got to see this game happen on Saturday night in Death Valley. Again, I like our chances. But other than that, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week to recap the LSU-Ole Miss game and everything else. Who knows? It could be another weekend of chaos. Either way, we'll have it for you folks here. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.